Well, there is a new unstoppable movement that's fixing almost everything wrong with America's healthcare. It's called direct care, and by sidestepping entrenched extractive middles, employers and consumers alike can eliminate all the built-in confusion, gaming, all the tyranny. Because direct care pays for itself, so the members and white coats are doubling every 3 years. Welcome to the new healthcare economy, where everyone wins. Redirect Health. I chose Redirect Health as our sponsor for a few reasons. I'm a happy client 5 years now, and our most downloaded shows by far are Redirect Health shows. No one has a health plan for small employers more focused on reducing healthcare costs than Redirect Health. They have over 3,000 Google 5-star ratings and growing daily, and they average 4.6 stars overall. So stay tuned for your free report at the end of this show. Business Owner's Guide to Slashing Healthcare Premiums. get.redirecthealth.com/run. And now to the show. Well, on August 8th, FDA reversed ridiculing a medication that's on the World Health Organization model list. There's only 591 essential drugs on that list, and they did it in court this week, federal court. So I'm going to read an excerpt from an article, which I normally don't do, but this is such an important story. And I know we're not journalists here, but this affects every physician in America. So it all came out this week in litigation against the FDA. A lawyer representing the FDA said the FDA explicitly recognizes that doctors do have the authority to prescribe ivermectin to treat COVID. That lawyer is Ashley Chung Honold, a Department of Justice lawyer representing the FDA. She made her comments during oral arguments on August 8th in the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Fifth Circuit. And the government is defending the FDA's repeated exhortations to people to not take ivermectin for COVID-19, including a post on Twitter that just said, stop it. Three doctors brought the case against the FDA, alleging the federal agency unlawfully interfered with their practice of medicine and with repeated statements blasting and denigrating the use of ivermectin to treat COVID patients. Jared Kelson, who represented the three docs, told the appeals court, the fundamental issue in this case is straightforward. After the FDA approves the human drug for sale, does it then have the authority to interfere with how the drug is used within the doctor-patient relationship? And the answer is no. The FDA on August 21st, 2021, wrote on Twitter, you are not a horse. You are not a cow. Serious, y'all. Stop it. The post, which linked to an FDA page that says people shouldn't take ivermectin, went viral. And in other statements, the FDA said ivermectin, quote, isn't authorized or approved to treat COVID-19. And second quote, should I take ivermectin to prevent or treat COVID-19? Answer, no, unquote. The plaintiffs are Drs. Paul Merrick, Mary Talley Bowden, who was on our show a year ago, and Robert Apter. They say that they were professionally harmed by the FDA statements, including being terminated over efforts to prescribe. Other doctors were threatened with having their license revoked if they prescribed ivermectin for COVID. And in fact, that happened in Ohio this week. Federal law enables the FDA to provide information such as reports of adverse reactions to drugs, but not medical advice, the attorney Kelso said. Harold, the FDA lawyer, argued the FDA didn't require anybody to do anything, nor prohibit anyone from doing anything. The judge asks, what about when it said, no, stop it? This is Judge Jennifer Walker Elrod on the panel that is hearing the appeal. She said, isn't that a command? If you're in an English class, wouldn't they say that's a command? Honold described the statements as merely quips. No, stop it is merely a quip. So they were just playing with us and messing around. They were just making quips, trying to influence not to use ivermectin, but they weren't requiring us to do anything. Just remember that next time the FDA issues a warning on anything. It just could be a quip. So below is just one of the hundreds of corporate media reports mocking ivermectin as a drug intended for barnyard animals, and we'll link that on the show notes. So I want to thank Leo Holman, who is a reporter that's nicely summarized that story. And the second thing that came out in this is that polypharmacy or medication cocktails are super common in psychiatry. And they're famous in oncology, and they're life-extending in HIV. And every flu shot is made of a cocktail. So these are quality-enhancing
for also rare diseases. I could go on. In fact, every doc listening can think of five more polypharmacy applications that they use routinely. So off-label is used 40% of all scripts. It too is life-saving in cancer, cardiology, endocrinology, and way more. So why is COVID any different? Can you go off-label? Can you use a cocktail? Of course you can. And the FDA cannot possibly study every mathematical combination used of their 19,000 approved medications. Every off-label use, every combination, they're not in that business, and it's mathematically impossible. But docs are, because they know what works on the ground. Thank you, Mary Talley Bowden, for fighting the good fight to keep it this way for all 1,077,015 doctors and hundreds of millions of patients in America. All right, today I'm excited to introduce to you Dr. Sandeep Pellicadetti. He is the co-founder and chief product officer of Mishi.co, which is the first fully integrated specialty savings plan. And he's the co-founder and chief medical officer of Rebel Health Alliance, a national specialty cloud clinic focused on longevity, wellness optimization, and metabolic health. Welcome, Sandeep, to the show.
Thanks, Ron. Great to be here.
Any comments before we get going?
Well, without getting too much into the COVID discussion, I will say that I do think this represents a lack of understanding across most of the community around how healthcare is actually delivered. As you mentioned, one in five, two in five medications are used off-label. Gabapentin, a common medication that's approved for seizures, is used every day for alcohol withdrawals. Lorazepam, used for anxiety, is used every day for nausea in cancer patients. You see things like Wegovy now and semaglutide that were approved for type 2 diabetes that are being used for weight loss. So I really believe that there's a growing sentiment that physicians have lost their agency, whether it's the FDA, the CDC, the community, our hospital boards, payers. Everyone is sort of telling us how we should practice medicine without having ever gone through the training and without seeing the effects downstream on our patients. So I believe this represents more of the moral injury really that's going on across healthcare, where physicians are just not really able to practice in the way that we always thought. And frankly, that's one of the major drivers of why we've started Mishi and Rebel Health.
Well, let's talk about Mishi first. It sounds like it's a cash pay marketplace. If you want to go find lots of different procedures or specialists, you're going to go to Mishi.co. Explain that further to me, please.
Yeah, I think that's the right sort of summary there. I've spent a lot of my career in hospital medicine, in primary care, working in value-based care environments where we've had to think about not only the care, the quality that we're delivering to our patients, but also the cost and the resources that we're spending across the healthcare continuum. As you know, $4 trillion of spend in the United States every year towards healthcare. And despite our best efforts and the growing trend of quote unquote value-based organizations, we still see a steady march upward in price and cost every day. One of the major drivers to that is just the lack of transparency. Healthcare is the only industry in the world that you go in and obtain a service or good, and you actually have no idea how much that's going to cost. When I've spoken with chief financial officers, with actuaries, with accountants across healthcare, and I just ask them point blank, how much is that MRI going to cost? How much is that drug going to cost? Well, it depends on a host of factors, and whether it's your insurance status, it's your location, it's whether you're going to the academic center or the community center. There's all sorts of factors that drive the cost, and it is, in my opinion, almost purposely obfuscated because of the massive profits that we see for so many different players across the ecosystem. So Mishi was really started, the mission is to help patients, help clinicians just exchange directly and understand the cost upfront with no surprise bills, with complete transparency. You've mentioned and you've done a lot of great highlighting around the direct primary care world, and DPC is really built on much of that same premise, which is let's cut out the middleman. Let's cut out all of these other folks who are telling us how we can or cannot practice based on what's in network or out of network or what's on your particular benefit plan or what your copay or coinsurance might be. We need to return to a time when clinicians and patients can just see one another again and exchange directly in services. So we've started in New York City. We go out and negotiate pre-negotiated prices with hundreds of different specialists. We have over 1,000 procedures indexed where we've, you know, negotiated the price for the surgeon, the anesthesiologist, the facility fee, and we bundle that all together and present that to the patient. If you're going in for a typical colonoscopy in this country, something like $3,000. And if you're one of the 100 million people in this country who have a high deductible health plan where the first $5,000 to $10,000 are out of cost, all of that expense is on you. And you may not even know it, but that surprise bill is coming in 90 days. And most folks are pretty turned off by that. And frankly, 60% of Americans avoid care because of that uncertainty in the pricing. So when we go out and we negotiate these prices, we bundle that together and present that to patients, we can reduce those costs by up to 80%. We have GI docs offering colonoscopies on our site right now for $500 or $1,000. And if you're, again, one of those millions of people who have to pay for essentially all of your healthcare out of pocket in addition to your premiums, we believe that this is a much better opportunity to both save resources within the system, help patients really understand and plan for their futures. And on the clinician side, you know, 30% of a doctor's revenue is spent on revenue cycle management, just chasing down the insurance company to make sure that they get paid for that claim. And they're lucky if they do 90 days later. So with our system, these docs agree to a fee schedule just like they do with any other health plan. And once they administer that service, they are compensated within 3 days at most, typically.
So, yeah. Listen, I got a colonoscopy paid cash. I've done it twice now. I did it 5 years ago and I did it this summer. And I ended up paying, I think, $1,250 for what was quoted $30,000 in San Antonio, Texas.
Wow.
And I could have got it for $1,000. I could have done had I kept doing more shopping. But I literally, doing this myself, no CFO could explain what their bundled price was. Well, that's the facility. You have to call the anesthesiologist about the other part of this. And I'm going, no, I just need to know all in what check I write. And I'm not here to put together, you know, a sewing kit for y'all. Y'all figure it out. This is your business, not mine. So eventually, I used one of the people that have been on my show to help me figure this out. But so this is designed for consumers like me, but it's probably also designed for health sharing ministries too, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I think if you're an employer that runs a self-funded insurance plan for your employees, if you are a care sponsor, a union, anyone who is sort of paying on behalf of patients, you know, we can't continue to sink 20 cents on the dollar of every single industry into healthcare. And most of our commercial industries around the country are the ones subsidizing American healthcare. If you talk to any health system CFO, they'd tell you they typically lose money on Medicaid. They basically break even on Medicare, and commercial insurance is really the major driver of any profit or revenue. And so we believe that as employers as well, there's a major drive to really understand how can we reduce costs for our patients. So, you know, we start to see things like HSAs and FSAs, but we think you can go one step further if you offered, you know, a benefit for a cash pay sort of environment and partnered with us at Mishy, then we could give any sort of benefits manager, HR leader at any sort of organization a real understanding of the cost that they could expect throughout the year. And therefore, you know, they could plan and allocate their sort of resources in a much smarter way.
You know, we just had Kristen Dickerson on with Green Imaging. She has 3,000 imaging centers and at least that many radiologists, of course, to do the reads. And she spent her whole last 12 years bundling a price so that you get a global and a professional fee all bundled in as one quoted price for the consumer, because we don't know the difference between those. And now she's getting pressure from benefit advisors and third-party administrators to get a basically reference-based price, which is a percentage of what the hospital gets. So can you explain to the listener the difference between reference-based pricing and bundled pricing?
Yeah, the reference-based pricing is, as you sort of mentioned there, is what many of the health plans and the administrators sort of focus on as far as a base price. The rack rate is often what we call it. And this is kind of the highest rate that a health system might charge. The great irony in a lot of this is that with the rack rates, if you're uninsured and you don't have coverage, you actually get charged the absolute highest price that the hospital can, they think they can sort of get away with. And that's why we sort of see that, you know, the major driver of bankruptcy in this country is healthcare costs. We have hospital systems partnering with debt collectors to go chase down patients, but they had charged that individual patient with the absolute highest price. Whereas if you're part of a health plan, then that health plan comes to the health system like a United or an Anthem or whoever, and they say, hey, we've got hundreds of thousands of patients in your community. And because of that demand, we would like a lower price. And the health system typically offers that. So when you can bundle these prices together, when you can, just like you were saying, you know, with the anesthesiologist and the facility and the GI doc, we don't have a real way of sort of understanding what each of those prices are going to be until after the fact. We gave birth, you know, a year ago to our son, and we had $7,000 of out-of-pocket expenses. And that was despite the fact that we were insured. You know, one of the hospitals was out of network. One of the anesthesiologists was out of network. And it's impossible for a consumer to sort of understand that. So bundled pricing really goes directly to the source, starts to negotiate each of these different prices into one understandable, consumable sort of price for consumers, for employers, and helps them really understand what the cost is going to be all in. We've done that again with over 1,000 procedures. And when patients come to the Mishy site, they know that there will never be a bill that comes to them 60 days or 90 days later for some out-of-pocket or out-of-network clinician. They are getting the full price all the way up front. There have been attempts at this through different sort of health plans, and Medicare famously had the BPCI, which I think is being sunsetted, and they've tried to bundle some of these prices together as well. That puts the risk back on the clinicians, on the health systems, to really ensure that they have their processes down, that they can deliver a standardized product for a standardized price. And that is often something that there's not much appetite for across the healthcare industry. Obviously, you know, your listeners and your show has brought together many who really do believe in this sort of ethos, and I commend that. We hope that our platform and our network allows all sorts of clinicians to kind of step off of the corporate, you know, rat race, to stop being employees where they're sort of told how many RVUs they have to pump through the system, where they can step off and create a practice by themselves, where they can bundle procedures by themselves and offer that to the public. And we give them all the tools to do that, as well as the demand to, you know, ensure that their practice stays solvent.
Okay, now I can imagine your wife jumping in here and saying, hey, honey, love Mishy.co. I'm going to use my doctor. Screw Mishy. You haven't negotiated anything with them yet.
Well, you know, I think what we are hoping and what we're seeing, frankly, is that many of our physicians are employed by various systems. They, you know, we have the head of orthopedics for NYU, and we've got the, you know, team doc for one of the WNBA teams. I mean, these aren't just, you know, fringe docs, and not to say that anyone is less than the other, but what we hope to do is spur a revolution that clinicians like myself, like anyone else who's practicing either in private practice or employed practice, can sort of create their own ecosystem and environment by which they can service their patients directly. So we even create sort of private networks for health plans and or for providers, I mean, where they can sort of set their own prices, their own bundles, and directly market that to their own patients and send them over there. So we are early, and we know that this is disruptive, but you know, really, Ron, what I'm sensing across many of my physician colleagues is a real sentiment of wanting to explore something different. Most folks are just kind of done. I think COVID exposed many of the ills of the healthcare system. And as clinicians continue to get squeezed more and more, I believe they'll be looking for these kinds of opportunities to return to independent private practice where they can just exchange directly with their patients.
How much would the birth have cost of your son had y'all used Mishi today?
Well, we've talked with OBGYN docs who are happy to bundle an all-in price for something like $2,000, $2,500. And that includes the prenatal visit, the actual delivery, any postnatal care. And, you know, obviously there are unforeseen circumstances in healthcare, and we approach those on a case-by-case basis. But for most of us who are, you know, going in having a typical, you know, natural birth or C-section, those are the kind of prices that we're able to offer. And we even have financing options on our site whereby patients can pay over time or in a few different chunks. And so, you know, we believe that we can take out at least 50% of the cost out of most procedures that are done in this country.
Well, labor and delivery is the most common surgery in America. Okay, let's talk a little bit about the Rebel Health Alliance. What is that and what are you trying to do there? Who are you serving and what's your objective?
So Rebel Health Alliance is really a specialty clinic in the cloud whereby, you know, we're building on the Mishi platform actually. And we really espouse to many of those same ethos, which is directly engaging with our patients and not allowing insurance companies or other intermediaries to dictate how we deliver care. The typical primary care visit in this country is something like 7 minutes long. And we just think that is woefully inadequate. So we've built a system whereby each patient comes in, they have a comprehensive assessment and upfront data that we gather, things like deep blood work and genetic tests and DEXA scans, looking at their body fat composition and lean body mass. And then we put them through a robust interdisciplinary care team where they meet monthly with a RN wellness coach, a strength and conditioning coach, a dietitian, an epigenetic counselor, and with myself and other physicians who are ultimately leading all of their care. I saw a patient yesterday and got to spend an hour and 40 minutes with her. I saw another patient today and was with him for 75 minutes. The typical primary care infrastructure just would never allow for something like that. But I think we'd all agree that if it were our loved ones, if it was ourselves, if it were our parents, would we not want someone spending an hour at least with a patient to understand deeply what their habits are, their sleep, their diet, their nutrition, their social relationships, as well as all of the objective data, and then making really comprehensive recommendations and guiding them through that care? So we've built that system completely outside of the traditional healthcare environment. We ask patients to pay a cash-based subscription fee, and for that, they get all of those services. They get direct access to their clinicians and their team, much like many of your DPC colleagues and guests have talked about in the past. We kind of cut out all the middlemen and just engage directly with patients. So,
okay. And when did Rebel launch? How old is it?
Rebel Health is brand new. We just launched in July. We've taken on our second cohort in August, and we're opening it up pretty broadly here going into September post-Labor Day.
Okay. And what do you think this will look like in, say, 3 to 4 years?
3 to 4 years, we will have a full stack practice that's across the country. We'll have multiple, you know, physicians and medical groups and teams that are led by really highly trained clinicians focused on metabolic health, longevity, optimization. We'll have advanced diagnostics that go even further than the deep sort of genetic tests and everything that we do right now. We would use digital health tools to understand people's baseline metrics and things like their VO2 max and other key indicators of their life and wellness throughout the next coming decades. Our real goal is for people not to just live until they're 90 or 100, but to really improve their health span, as Dr. Attia often talks about in his book, is it's giving people more life to their years. You know, we want folks to be 75, 85, 90, and not just, you know, barely making it and using assistive devices, but hiking the Rockies with their grandchildren or putting that, you know, suitcase above their head into the overhead compartment so they can travel the world. We want people to live their fullest lives. And that starts right now, often 30 to 40 years ahead of time. What the current healthcare system is really good at is addressing disease that is apparent right now and that may kill you in the next 10 years, but we're not very good at really focusing on the upstream drivers 30, 40 years in advance. There's real changes and, you know, interventions we must make early on in order to make sure that we live our best lives.
All right. Well, I want to thank you for coming on the show. You know how this ends. If you could fly a banner overhead with one message, Sandeep, what would that message be?
I think that message would be live your life to the fullest and concentrate on the net.
All right. And if people want to reach out to you, how will they find you?
Well, they can find Mishe at mishe.co, M-I-S-H-E, and .co. Just as an aside, Mishe is short for Mishe Barak, which is a Hebrew word for healing, as we heal our broken healthcare system. If they'd like to find Rebel Health, rebelhealthalliance.io. And you're always welcome to follow me at Dr. Deep MD on Twitter and chuckle at all my rants about the broken healthcare system.
Yeah, they're great, by the way. Thank you again for being on the show, and we'll follow up with you in a couple of years.
All right. Thanks so much, Ron. Appreciate it.
I have been a happy customer of Redirect Health since before I started the show, guys, and I know firsthand the integrity and laser focus on us of the members of its two founders, Dave Berg and Dr. Janice Johnson. What do I get from me and my team? Well, I have 24/7 access to my healthcare team for any reason, and they have all my medical records right at their fingertips at all times. So no more filling out those stupid forms in clinics. And if I need a refill, if I got a rash, I've hurt my back, I need an annual physical, Redirect Health takes it from there. I just tell them on my app what I need. We get free primary care visits and chiropractic and labs and patient assistance with meds, which means you can get free meds for a lot of your employees, probably most of them actually, and hospitalization with a $2,000 deductible. All of that is in my plan for about half what I used to pay in a traditional high deductible plan. But I have zero deductibles, zero copays except for that $2,000. So I go to get my care with my own doctor, or they'll find one for me. You keep your doctor with this plan, and I pay nothing there at the clinic after. It's super clean. What a friction-free plan should look like, right? And it's much less chance of any surprise bills, and Redirect totally handles all the hassles when my doctor's billing department in the hospital messes up, and they mess up 80% of the time. Well, I'm treated like a person, not a number at Redirect. So I'll say it on this show a million times and on my LinkedIn post dozens of times, I use Redirect Health. If you want to get the business owner's guide to slashing healthcare premiums, go to get.redirecthealth.com/Ron. get.redirecthealth.com/Ron. Thanks for listening. You can advance our movement by subscribing and kindly take a minute and leave a review. Each is a win for this show. Until next episode.